The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 9, text number 29. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on February 10th, 2007, in Tallahassee, Florida, USA.
So, I'm traveling all over the world. We are doing kirtan in so many places. But there's something special about this kirtans here. Something very special. Whether it's, I think it's the combination of the acoustics of the room and the enthusiasm of the devotees here. Something really special about these kirtans in ISKCON Tallahassee.
Oh, you say that to all the sinners.
No, I never say. My wife is a witness. I don't say that. I've never said it anywhere.
When you say it's on YouTube, I mean, it's not only the sound of it, you have a video of this on YouTube?
There's a video that's on my... every time I send an email out, it has a little clip that... And my footnote in my email is it all refers to this kirtan. So everybody can see this kirtan we did last time here. Yeah, it's really, really some special kirtan shakti here. It really is. Very special kirtan shakti in this place. This is another type of kirtan. Shukadev Goswami is the acharya of kirtan, but his kirtan was to talk philosophy. So this is another type of kirtan. So we will keep the ecstatic kirtan rolling. We will go into another type of kirtan. This is called Bhagavad Gita kirtan. Today we will read from the 9th chapter, the most confidential knowledge, text number 29. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Samohang sarvabhuteshu name dveshosti na priyaha. Ye bhajanti tumang bhaktya. Mai te teshu chapyaham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Chapter 9, text 29. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Purport. One may question here that if Krishna is equal to everyone, and no one is his special friend, then why does he take a special interest in the devotees who are always engaged in his transcendental service? But this is not discrimination. It is natural. Any man in this material world may be very charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children. The Lord claims that every living entity in whatever form is His Son. And so He provides everyone with a generous supply of all the necessities of life. He is just like a cloud which pours rain all over, regardless of whether it falls on rock or land or water. But for His devotees, He gives specific attention. Such devotees are mentioned here. They are always in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, they are always transcendentally situated in Krishna. The very phrase Krishna consciousness suggests that those who are in such consciousness are living transcendentalists. situated in Him. The Lord says here distinctly, Mai te, they are in me. Naturally, as a result, the Lord is also in them. This is reciprocal. This also explains the words ye yatamang prapadyante tangst taiva bhajam yoham. Whoever surrenders unto me, proportionately I take care of him. This transcendental reciprocation exists because both the Lord and the devotees are conscious. When a diamond is set in a golden ring, it looks very nice. The gold is glorified, and at the same time, the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entity eternally glitter. And when a living entity becomes inclined in the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice. Living entities in a pure state are called devotees. The Supreme Lord becomes the devotee of his devotees. If a reciprocal relationship is not present between the devotee and the Lord, then there is no personalist philosophy. In the impersonal philosophy, there is no reciprocation between the Supreme and the living entity. But in the personalist philosophy, there is. The example is often given that the Lord is like a desire tree. And whatever one wants from this desire tree, the Lord supplies. But here the explanation is more complete. The Lord is here stated to be partial to the devotees. This is the manifestation of the Lord's special mercy to the devotees. The Lord's reciprocation should not be considered to be under the law of karma. It belongs to the transcendental situation in which the Lord and his devotees function. Devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world. It is part of the spiritual world, where eternity, bliss, and knowledge predominate. Om Magyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupaka Dhamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So the fact is, as Krishna explains here, that he is indeed equal to all living entities, but he is especially equal to his devotees. Someone may argue this is favoritism. The Lord is not being fair. But that argument is invalid. Why? Because the Lord gives an equal opportunity for everyone to become a devotee. But the fact is, he does give special treatment to his devotees. There's no doubt about it. But everybody has the opportunity to be a devotee. You see, everyone has. Even Jagai Madai. You see, they were the most sinful rogues and rascals. They were murderers, rapists, drunkards, thieves, dacoits of the most degraded order. But they became pure devotees. They were accepted by the Lord. So, we cannot accuse the Lord of being partial. When he declares, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu, I am equal to all living beings, he is speaking truthfully. That is fact. Chapter Srila Prabhupada has explained the most wonderful, wonderful relationship. Like a diamond and a golden ring. The relationship between the Lord and the devotee is like the diamond and the gold ring. So how do we enter into this nectarian relationship? You see, that we should be trying to figure out. How we can fully enter into this mood. What is Prabhupada saying here? Devotional service is not an activity of this material world, it is part of the spiritual world. So one who is fully absorbed in devotional service, he is not living in this material world. Do you understand? He is not living in this material world. So if the material world, if we sometimes have a bad case of the material world blues, that means we are not fully absorbed in devotional service. Yes. If we're actually fully absorbed in devotional service, we will be living in the kingdom of God at every minute. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram chit yagunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. You see, this describes a person who is fully absorbed in devotional service. They see Krishna everywhere, within and without. The verse says within, but Prabhupada one time translated it within and without, because if you fully see Krishna within, you will naturally see him without also. If you're fully connected with Krishna within your heart, you will naturally, automatically experience Krishna everywhere externally also. Within every sight, within every sound, within every taste, within every smell, and with everything you touch, you will feel how you're connecting with Krishna. You see? Krishna gives hint in the Bhagavad Gita. Rasoham apsukontaya prabhashmi shashishuryayo pranavasaravedeshu shabdoke parashangashu. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of the water. I am the light of the sun and the moon. I am the syllable om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether. And I am also the ability in man. So one who is actually Krishna conscious, he experiences Krishna everywhere. You see. We are drinking water so many times, you see. Water we are drinking, everyone is drinking water. A devotee actually feels connection with Krishna every time he drinks some water. That is devotee. Because Krishna is saying, I am the taste of water. So, this Krishna consciousness is a very wonderful process. This is a participation sport. It is not a spectator sport. You see? We have to learn how to dive into this ocean of prema bhakti. How to, as Prabhupada says, submerged. This is the word that Prabhupada uses, submerged. I like this word very much, submerged. If you're submerged in something, then you're surrounded on all sides, you see. If you're submerged in the water is above you, it's in front of you, it's behind you, it's on your right, your left, every direction. You're completely inundated if you're submerged in something. So Krishna consciousness means, the real meaning of Krishna consciousness means to be submerged in Krishna 24 hours a day. That is actual Krishna consciousness. So now we are struggling neophytes, just battling it out with the mind, you see. Sometimes getting a little glimmer of a taste of what it means to be Krishna conscious. But mostly just, you know, battling it out with the material modes of nature. So what can we do now to enhance this practice of our Krishna consciousness so that we can actually experience what Prabhupada is describing here. That it's not just something in the textbook, you see. It's something that we're actually tasting at every minute. This is how we should read Prabhupada's purports. With a view to making our every moment a perfect, total, complete embodiment of what Prabhupada is describing. You see? That's how we should study these books. These books are laboratory manuals telling us how, just like in chemistry, we have the laboratory manual. It tells us that if we combine two parts of hydrogen with one part of oxygen, then we, in a certain way, in the test tube, following the directions of a lab manual, then what do you get? You get water. You see? When I was a boy, I did that in high school chemistry class. It was so amazing. Oh, there's water in the test tube. Wow. It's real. I got the water in my test tube. You see? So, we have also laboratory manual. The level one laboratory manual, that is Bhagavad Gita as it is. Level two, Srimad Bhagavatam. Level three, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So if we will actually take these wonderful descriptions of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and we will try to enter into that spirit, that mood of pure bhakti as described by His Divine Grace, then we will see how the influence of the material nodes of nature is going for a hike. And how a wonderful feeling of attachment, affection for Krishna begins to, some glimmer of it at least, like the sunrise and the dawn. It comes a very, very, very faint glimmer. You see. Then we'll actually begin to feel how we're developing some affection for that person whose name starts with the letter K. Krishna. I was speaking at the University of South Florida, yes, the other night. And there's a very nice young lady there who wanted to do good for the society. She wanted to dedicate her life to helping people. She's a very pious young girl. But she said, what is the impetus to go back to the spiritual world? She was thinking it's better to stay here and help the suffering people. I said to her, actually, that's very nice if you want to do that. But learn how to actually help them. But she was very curious to know, what is the impetus to go back to the spiritual world? And I told her very simply, to associate with Krishna. He's the most wonderful, beautiful, amazing person you could ever imagine. And that's the reason to go back to God, is you can associate with Krishna. She really appreciated that answer very much. You see, this is not mythological. This is real. Krishna is there. He's a real person. Another boy said, why is he blue? Why is it, you know? And I said, why are you wearing a blue sweatshirt? He said, because it's my favorite color. I said, you and Krishna are in the same league. It's his favorite color also. You see, Krishna is a person. He can be whatever color he wants to be. Actually, Radharani likes that color. That's Krishna. Chanakya Pandit says you should eat to please yourself and dress to please others. So Krishna dresses especially to please the gopis. You see, they like that. Somehow they really like that peacock feather in the hair. They like that bluish, blackish complexion. They really like that. So Krishna, he's an amazing person. There's no doubt about it. And if you think about Krishna. He's inconceivably wonderful. Just think of someone who's the source of everything that exists. He has no other origin than Nadir Adir Govinda. There's no other agenda that dictates to Krishna that you have to do this, you have to do that. Somehow or other, out of his own desire to exist, he exists for the pleasure of existing. And he has complete, total power and control over everything, because actually everything is his energy. I mean, it's just, you think about the person Krishna. It's mind-boggling. It's astounding that the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, he's just an amazing person, that you could actually go and meet him and have a relationship with him. This is actually, in our ISKCON temples, we have a wonderful ceremony instituted by Srila Prabhupada called Mangal Arti. We sing the beautiful prayers. We rise by 4 a.m. and at 4:30 a.m. we assemble in the temple room. Sometimes a little different timing, but most temples around that time, 4:30. And we sing these beautiful prayers by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And in the ninth prayer, he says that anyone who chants this Gurvastakam during the Brahma Muhurta, the time of his death, he will enter into the spiritual world and get the direct service of Lord Sri Krishna. So now do you know why we go to Mangal Arati? There's a reason we get up. But Prabhupada taught us to get up early and sing Gurvastakam during the Brahma Muhurta. It's not a Hindu ritual. It's a scientific fact certified by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And if you do this, it's like H2O equals water. If you will get up every morning and sing the Gavastakam prayers during Brahma Muhurta throughout your life, the time of death, you will enter Vrindavan Dham and have the direct service of Lord Sri Krishna. And there's no one more amazing, no one more beautiful, no one more powerful, no one more renounced, no one more knowledgeable, no one more wealthy, and no one more famous than Krishna. Power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth and fame, par excellence. No one even comes close to Krishna. No one comes close. We do not accept Krishna as God blindly. We accept him on the basis of his unlimited power, his unlimited beauty, his unlimited renunciation, his unlimited knowledge, his unlimited wealth, and his unlimited fame. Someone may say, renounced? How you can say Krishna's renounced? Someone may challenge, is it? But who was known as being very renounced? Grandfather Bhishma, you see. He made a vow he would never marry, you see, just so his father could get the girl of his dreams. He took this vow, I will never marry, you see. So, renounced. He's known as Dhrida Vrata, the one who has taken the great, great vow of renunciation. That vow gave him such shakti that he would only die when he chose to die. Only when he wanted to die would he die. He could not be killed by anyone else. He could only die when he decided to die. That was the strength of his renunciation. But what did Grandfather Bhishma say? He said, actually, there's no greater renunciate than Krishna. I'm nothing compared to Krishna's renunciation, because he was dancing with all those beautiful girls. He had no sexual relationships with them. You see? So even in renunciation, there's no one more renounced than Krishna. From other standpoints, we can see he created everything. All the pleasures, all the opulences of this world are here. And we're trying to enjoy them like anything. But Krishna has left 5,000 years ago. He left this place, even though there's so many enjoyable things. He created this place, but he's not hanging around to try to enjoy it. So in many ways we can see Krishna is the most renounced person. And his other qualities, of course, who can exceed Krishna in his power? Who can lift Govardhan Hill? It was much bigger then than it is now. And he had no problem lifting it. Who is more attractive than Krishna? His body never gets old, it never gets sick. Who is more beautiful than Krishna? There is no one more beautiful than Krishna. Who is more knowledgeable than Krishna? He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows absolutely everything. Everything that's, every thought you've ever had, Krishna knows. Every thought that's ever passed through your brain for all of eternity. He knows absolutely everything. You see? And wealth, I mean, he owns everything. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Krishna owns absolutely everything. We come along and claim it's our property. How foolish we are. It is all the property of Krishna. And who is more famous than Krishna? Even in this material world, Krishna is very well known. His Bhagavad Gita, there are hundreds and hundreds of editions of the Bhagavad Gita. So, where is that person who has so much power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame, and even an insignificant fraction of the power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, and wealth, and fame that Krishna has? Where is such a person in this world? You don't find any person. You see? Therefore, our acceptance of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is not blind faith. It is based on scientific understanding. Krishna is the very source of our existence. Because Krishna wants to have associates. Therefore, he manifests us out of himself as his separated parts and parcels, jiva souls, for the purpose of having loving relationship. Just like the parent will have children, to increase the loving relationships in the home, Krishna is having all these children, manifesting them out of himself to increase the loving relationships. And they are not carbon copies of each other. That would be too boring. He manifests each and every one of them as a totally unique living entity, just like there are no two snowflakes that are exactly the same. You can look under a microscope at the pattern of a snowflake. Every snowflake throughout the totality of existence has an entirely different pattern. Unique. So every single jiva has his own or her own unique characteristics. So that Krishna can have a specific type of unique loving relationship with that particular jiva, that he's not going to have with someone else. This is Radharani never cooks the same preparation twice for Krishna. He never gets tired of her cooking because it's always different. There's always a new exciting recipe coming out of her kitchen. So Krishna, in the same way, he has unlimited varieties of preparations cooked for him by Srimati Radharani. There are unlimited varieties of living entities that Krishna can enjoy an unlimited variety of loving relationships with. And that also means that if you do not love Krishna, then he's missing a certain taste, a certain flavor he can't get anywhere else but from you. There's no substitute. Krishna, it's not, say, well, Krishna, somebody else will surrender and as a substitute for me. Krishna doesn't accept it. No, I want your surrender. You see? Krishna wants that specific loving relationship with you, with each and every one of us. So the point I'm making here is Krishna consciousness is very, very, very personal. It's a very, very personal thing about you and your relationship with the Supreme Person who knows you better than you know yourself, who's been waiting for you to come back to his transcendental abode since time immemorial. When will my dear child come back to me? He's wondering, when will they come back? When will they come back? When will they come back? So why should we put Krishna in this anxiety and keep ourselves in a state of anxiety? We should come back to Krishna consciousness now in this lifetime. Atato brahma jigyasa. We have gotten the best opportunity to awaken our Krishna consciousness, this human form. You understand? This is the best opportunity. In the animal kingdom, there's no chance. It's very rare. Only in rare cases do animals get liberated. There was one dog in Chaitanya Lila. He got liberated. But that is a rare exception. He was going with Shivananda Sen. He had one party going to Puri, a pilgrimage party. Just like devotees will get together in a group and they'll go to Mayapur and Vrindavan. Every year he organized a parikrama to Jagannath Puri from Bengal. Of course, they didn't have airplanes and buses then, so they were walking to Puri. And along the way, some dog was tagging along with them. Somehow the dog became attracted. He wanted to join the parikrama party. And Shivananda Sen, he's a very soft-hearted, kind-hearted Vaishnava. So, all right. They came to the river landing, and of course, the boatman, he's charging everyone a fee. And all the people get in, they pay the fares, and the dog hops in the boat too. The boatman says, oh, this dog can't come unless you pay a fee for him too. So Shivananda said, all right, he paid the fee for the dog. And one day, the dog, he showed up missing. Shivananda Sen was in anxiety. Where is that dog? He actually fasted in anxiety. Where is the dog? Actually, the dog disappeared from the party. And it was a great anxiety for Shivananda Sen's mind. The dog was finally missing and he didn't come back. So they got to Puri. They went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's darshan. And who had beaten them there? The dog was already there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Somehow he got there first. He was the first one. And Lord Chaitanya would throw the green mango pulp. The dog would go, Haribo! Haribo! But then they didn't see the dog anymore. And it was told the dog had gone back to Vaikuntha. So this is rare exception. Generally, dog and cat and, you know, monkey and elephant and all the 8,400,000 species, they don't go back to Godhead. Human being is the form for going back to home, back to Godhead. So now that we have this form, let us utilize it in the best opportune way, understanding I can die at any minute. I don't want to sound morbid or, you know, make you paranoid or anything like that, but the fact is that each and every one of us can die at any minute. One of us here in this room could die today. Could be me. I could die while I'm giving this class, actually. I could have a heart attack and just drop dead right in the middle of this class. I mean, that's the reality. Look in the newspaper, it's happening every day. But we don't really believe it, do we? What is that verse? Ahani, ahani, yes. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gunchanti alamalayam, shesha stavaram ichchami, kimmashchari mutahapanam. At every minute, countless numbers of living entities are being dragged to the court of Yamaraj, but those who are remaining here, they're thinking, not me. I'm on the safe side. I got my life insurance paid up, you know. I got my vacation planned out. Just like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, he had a whole preaching tour lined up with TV shows, radio shows, He had a whole lecture series, you know, lined up, a round the world lecture tour lined up, and then he found out he was going to die and he had to cancel the whole thing. You see. So, you know, time and tide wait for no man. When it's your time to leave the body, you have to leave. So we don't know when that's going to come. So the point is, be prepared now as if today were your last day. I mean, you still should plan for 80 years and, you know, finish your paying for your house or whatever you're doing. That's all right. But the same, you should work it from both ends. Live, plan everything as if you live to be 80 or 100 or whatever, and then at the same time as if you could die at any minute. Do both things. You see? Do both things. And then you're on the safe side, because there will be a minute when you will die. There will be a day that will be your last day on the planet. That's a fact. There will be. Can you deny it? No, there will be a day that's our last day on the planet. There will be a second. There'll be our last second on this planet. So how well have we trained ourselves to always be Krishna conscious, to always keep our mind fixed on Krishna and not to be allured by material sense gratification? You see? The enemy of bhakti. We have to be honest with ourselves. We may fool others, but we can't fool Krishna. We may make a good show being a fixed up devotee and fool all the devotees. Oh yes, so and such and such Prabhu is a very advanced devotee, but we can't fool Krishna. We have to be honest about our lack of Krishna consciousness and do something about it to rectify this dangerous position we are in right now, vacillating back and forth between Krishna consciousness and sense gratification. We have to take very serious measures. Beg Krishna, my dear Lord, I've come to your lotus feet to take shelter, but I'm still being tempted by Maya in so many ways. Please help me to get free of this allurement and to become completely 100% absorbed in your service with no other thought except serving you and pleasing you 24 hours a day with every thought, word, and deed in all times, all places, and all circumstances. This is where the nectar's at. I'm telling you, this is where the nectar's at. When you get serious about pure bhakti, a haitaki bhakti, when you get silly, super, dead serious about pure devotional service, that's when you taste the sweetest nectar at every minute. It just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter for all of eternity. Isn't that where we want to be? Isn't that where we want to be? Brahma salkyam tvanantam. Well, this is how we do it. We have to get serious about pure devotional service. No more karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti. Kick out all that mishra bhakti. Kick it out. Prabhupada actually encouraged me in one letter. I wrote to him, my mind was disturbed by some material thoughts. And I wrote Prabhupada about this. He said that no jnana, no karma, no yoga, all material desires, zero. And then he challenged me, he said, whether you can be like them. That hit me hard. It was a wonderful thing that Prabhupada challenged me like that. He said, whether you can be like that. You see? I was thinking, well, I don't know, Prabhupada, only by your mercy. But Prabhupada challenged me, whether you can be like that, free of these material desires. You see? It's like, well, maybe you can and maybe you can't. Maybe you will and maybe you won't. Prabhupada was just being honest with me. Maybe you will and maybe you won't. I want you to, but it's really up to you, my dear disciple. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Whether you can be like that, he was challenging me. It's not an automatic thing. You just put on some neck beads, you get a spiritual name, some tilak. No. That's Christianity. I accepted Jesus and now I'm saved. You have to actually have a transformation of the heart to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada says, even if there's a slight material desire, Krishna will bless you with another material birth so you can satisfy that desire. Even the slightest tinge of material desire obliges one to take birth again in this material world. Of course, he also said that Krishna will give some concession. So his Prabhupada said both things. But we shouldn't think, all right, I'll just bank on the concession and hold on to my material desires. No. Prabhupada said it is better not to take advantage of concessions. So we should really strive. The real point is we should strive for pure devotional service. With all sincerity. And if we've really tried our best to become pure devotees, even if we somehow come a little short of the time of death, then Krishna can throw us, you know, some bonus points to help us pass the exam. He can always do that. But if we just think, I'm just going to throw frisbees the whole semester and not hit the books, come final time, don't expect the bonus points to save you. You see? We have to be very serious about pure devotional service. With full sincerity of attitude. And then it will be happy. People think, well, I really have to. One of my students wrote me from Dubai, United Arab Emirates. He's a bachelor, a single man living alone. And he said, well, you know, I'm so miserable. I have to go watch movies because I'm just so miserable. He wanted some help, you know, help me get out of this trap I'm in. I know I shouldn't be watching mundane movies, but I do it because, you know, I'm not satisfied, I'm unhappy, and I, you know, for some sense of relief, I go and do that. But so I explained to him, actually, that one has to execute devotional service in such a way that your life becomes more exciting than any movie that you could ever go see. You see? If you're living in a movie which is more exciting and more wonderful than any movie that you could go pay to see, then who wants to waste your money on a stupid movie when your life is a movie which is millions of times more exciting than anything you could see in the cinema house? You see? So I explained to him like this. You simply have to live your life in such a way that you're living in the most exciting movie. You see? And I tell them this, that if you do this, then you will discover an amazing cinema house within your heart where you can see the pastimes of Krishna going on 24 hours a day. In this cinema house, you can actually enter into the movie and be a part of the movie. Because each and every one of us, we have a swarup, we have an identity in Krishna's pastimes, actually. And if we become pure, then we actually regain that original identity we had in the pastimes of Krishna. So, in this way, if we get serious about Krishna consciousness, all we're going to do is taste the sweetest, inconceivable nectar. So we've got nothing to lose and everything to gain by becoming very serious about devotional service. I'll wrap it up now. I know time is running by here. Sometimes I wonder, well, what's the best way to give a class? You know, what's the most appropriate way to give a lecture on Krishna consciousness? And I was sometimes wondering, but then I saw something when I was in the Melbourne temple. It was a quote from Prabhupada about how to present Krishna consciousness. And I really felt that this was the answer to my question. Prabhupada said, serious, but attractive. In other words, you know, I could sit up here and tell jokes and get everybody to go, hee-haw, 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 hee-haw. But it's actually far more uplifting and powerful to present in a very serious way the factual science of bhakti, but in the same time, attractively. In a colorful, nectarian way, to present the serious facts about Krishna consciousness. So after I saw that quote from Prabhupada, I realized this is actually the best way to give a class on Krishna consciousness. Make it very serious, but make it very attractive at the same time. Because actually it's all attractive. We don't have to doctor up the philosophy to make it attractive, spice it up in any way, because the philosophy as it is Krishna himself. The Bhagavatam is Krishna. Krishna is the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. Krishna is the Bhagavad Gita. If we simply present the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita directly as they are, there is nothing more attractive than that, because that is Krishna himself. Nothing else is required. We don't have to add anything else. It's all there. Just the pure presentation of Krishna consciousness is all attractive. It will attract the whole world. So anyway, I very much appreciate your nicely hearing our these words, and we can ask now if there's any questions.
A question someone asked me, I thought you could help me answer. They said, what you presented is all very nice, but is what you have faith in, and I may not have that faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is it just that simple?
Or? So that's what you believe in, and you're very enthusiastic about it, and that's all fine and dandy for you, but, you know, truth is relative. There's no really absolute truth. Mm-hmm. But my dear sir, I have a question I'd like to ask of you. The idea that you're presenting is that there's really no absolute truth. It's just all relative. You know, what I feel is good for me is good for me. What you feel is good for you is good for you. There's nothing that's absolutely true. Is that what you're trying to say? Okay. But let me ask you this. Are you absolutely sure that there's no absolute truth?
Well, it's whatever appeals to you.
Huh?
Whatever appeals to you.
No, but are you absolutely sure there's no absolute truth? Yeah, you can't be, because if you do, you're a hypocrite, because you're saying there's no absolute truth. So you cannot be you cannot absolutely say there's no absolute truth. You've just canceled yourself out as a fool and a rascal if you do that. If you say there's no absolute truth, you can't say it, there's no absolute truth, because you can't say that, because the philosophy there is no absolute truth doesn't allow you to present any absolute. Therefore, the absurdity of the non-existence of the absolute truth proves the existence of the absolute truth.
It seems like even the scientists are searching for some absolute.
Huh?
Scientists are searching for some absolute explanation.
Searching, yes. That's right. But they haven't found it yet. That's right. They're searching. So why they advertise themselves as being learned? If they're still in a state of ignorance, if they're still in the dark searching, why do they present themselves as learned? That's my question for them. Why are you presenting yourself as learned when you're still searching for truth? You don't know what it is yet. Several years back in the old days in Gainesville, when I was in my brahmachari days, one scientist, this was about 1973, I think, one scientist came to the university to tell us all about the black holes in outer space. And this was a big thing on the campus. I mean, it was in the evening, and every science class on the whole campus came. There were about 3,000 students came to hear the great guru of black holes. You see? So, I was sitting there with my shaved head and my prominent tilak with a big smile on my face. And I asked him, I raised my hand, I said, my dear sir, is what you're saying, is it a theory or is it a fact? He said, I think it's a fact. Not the word I think. And then somebody else asked a question, someone else asked a question, and then I got recognized. And I said, throughout the history of modern science, we have seen that one theory becomes popular for some time, and then it's replaced by another one. So how do we know? No, you just said it was a fact and not a theory. This is really a loaded question. How do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? What was his answer? I hope it is, because then we'll be making progress. Just see the rascal. He said it's a fact, it's not a theory. And now he's admitting it's a theory which will be disproved in the future. And that will be the progress of science. So he's already admitting that what he's presenting is not true. It's not absolutely true. It's going to be disproven someday. So this is modern science, how it goes on. You see? Whatever is the latest bluff is accepted as truth until a more sophisticated bluff comes along that knocks it down. That's all. That's all it is. So to hell with your damn science. It's nonsense. If you want science, you come to me and learn. I'm giving this knowledge straight from the Bhagavad Gita without adding or subtracting anything. I will teach you what is real science, sir. Don't follow these stupid rascals who are simply bluffing. The Bhagavad Gita has not been changed. Every year the scientific textbooks have to be changed. This book has never been changed. It will never change because this is absolute truth. Is that all right?
Well, like Sanatana Goswami said, Sanatana Goswami introduced himself to Lord Chaitanya. I'm a fool. I don't even know who I am.
Yeah. That's how we should approach spiritual authority. Yes. That I don't know. I have to admit I'm a fool. I don't really know. I don't even know who I am. I don't even know where I've come from. Where I'm going, I have no idea what's going on. Please enlighten me. This is the mood we should come to before a spiritual authority. You see? This is the mood. If we take this humble mood, then we are a fit candidate for spiritual enlightenment. You see, the spiritual master will speak Brahma, the words of truth. And those words, if we have a humble, open, pure heart, those words of truth will penetrate our heart. And we'll become spiritually awakened. We'll actually realize the truth of these statements of the Vedic wisdom. They'll become practically realized. So, any other questions?
What does it mean exactly to be sincere?
Sincere means no duplicity. You say one thing and you mean something else. Complete, total honesty. That is sincerity. Questions more? Yes?
How do we make our lives more exciting than a movie?
More exciting than a movie? Yes. Well, you have to rise early in the morning during the Brahma Muhurta hour. And you have to chant 16 quality... At least 16 good quality rounds of japa mala. That's the first thing. Are you doing that?
No.
No. That's the first step. Get up and before the sunrise and chant on your japa mala beads at least 16 quality rounds. Would you leave the house if your mobile phone wasn't fully charged? Would you? And it's a problem, isn't it? Sometimes an important call comes in and the thing goes dead. Oh my God, I didn't charge it. Oh my God, well, I really blew it. You know, I didn't charge my phone. So if even a simple thing as a mobile phone needs to be fully charged, then what about your spiritual battery? Would you go out to face the material world if your spiritual battery is not fully charged? In the middle of the day, Maya will attack and you'll have no means to withstand the attack because you didn't charge your battery. Your spiritual, your Krishna consciousness went dead at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because you didn't charge your battery sufficiently. People say, why 16? Why not 15? Well, that 16 is the minimum amount of chanting required to charge your spiritual batteries for 24 hours. That's why 16 rounds. 15, it's going to conk out in the middle before you get to the 24 hours over. You got to have 16 quality rounds, and then you'll be charged up for you can. Then you can conquer the world. You see, what is that Hindi saying? If you can control your mind, you can conquer your mind. You can conquer the world. It's a Hindi saying like that. So if you can take shelter of the holy names, you'll become an empowered person. You'll be able to fight the war with Maya and win. Step by step throughout the day. Every time Maya attacks, you counterattack and defeat Maya. You see, because you're well armed, you've charged your spiritual batteries in the early morning hour. And I guarantee you, if you're living like that, as like a spiritual revolutionary, every minute will be exciting wherever you go. It'll be the most thrilling adventure at every minute. This is a fact. It's a fact. Next question. Yeah.
One other thing I found that makes very exciting is to preach.
Yes, that's right. There's nothing more exciting than not only trying to revolutionize your own heart, but also taking the challenge, I'm going to do everything I can until my last dying breath to revolutionize this planet. You see, that's preaching. I want to distribute books, I want to distribute prasadam, I want to distribute the holy names, I want to make devotees, I'm going to do everything I can to revolutionize this planet. You see, do you know that is the meaning of Bahir Nisringa Hridaye Nisringa? Nisringa with Prabhupada explains in the fifth canto of purport, this Bahir Nisringa Hridaye Nisringa, we sing every morning in the Nisringa prayers. Bahir Nisringa Hridaye Nisringa. We sing it every day and we don't realize the deep meaning of it. Hridaye Nisringa means, Lord Nisringa, Prabhupada describes in this way, that may Lord Nisringadev dwell within my heart, killing all of my bad propensities so that my mind may become perfectly clean. And then, Bahir Nisringa, Prabhupada translates in this way, that let me be able to spread peace throughout the entire world. You see, and what is that peace? That is Krishna consciousness. So, those two things go hand in hand. You see, the more you become determined to spread Krishna consciousness, the more you get it. The more you become determined to give Krishna to others, to that extent you get Krishna. To the extent that you're dedicated to giving Krishna, to that extent you get Krishna. So it works from that way, and it also works the other way. The more you purify your own heart, the more you become empowered to give Krishna to others. So work it from both ends. You work from within, Hridaye Nisringa, you work it from that end, and you work from the other end, Bahir Nisringa. Work it from both ends. So we have our morning program, that's the Hridaye Nisringa. And then we have our preaching activities, that's Bahir Nisringa. We work it from both ends, within and without. Nisringa, 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 Nisringa. Krishna, 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 Krishna. You see? Always be. In other words, revolutionize your heart and do everything you can to revolutionize this planet externally by preaching, by telling people what is the order of Lord Chaitanya. Yare deka tarikaha Krishna upadesha maragaya guru hoyutare deksha. Whomever you meet, give to him the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you become a guru and deliver the people of this planet, you see. So, we are a movement of spiritual revolutionaries on the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some foolish people say there's only one Acharya in ISKCON and that's Prabhupada. No one else. It's an empowered Acharya to push forward this movement. Only Prabhupada. But what did Prabhupada tell us in Mayapur? He said, now we are 10,000 and then we will become 100,000. And then we will become 1,000,000. And then we will become 10,000,000. He said there will be no scarcity of acharyas. So who is that foolish rascal who says there's only one acharya? ISKCON means only one acharya. That's not what Prabhupada said. He said 10,000,000 acharyas. That's Prabhupada's words. So I will take Prabhupada's words over their words any day. I live by the words of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, not these upstarts who try to twist what Prabhupada has taught us. You see? Any other questions?
Do you go to African countries too?
Hmm? Yeah.
Do you preach in African countries too?
African countries? I've been invited to Africa, but I haven't gone yet. Are you inviting me to come to Africa?
No. He's volunteering to go with you.
You'll arrange ticket? You'll arrange air ticket?
I can arrange for some service there. I can arrange for some service there.
I'll give you my card. You can let me know. I'm always looking for, you know, other preaching venues. So here, take my card.
Yeah, but I'm from India. I don't know anything.
That's all right. No, I'm being invited everywhere. You know, we're just trying to see, you know, how to do it. Because all kinds of invitations all over the world, it just keeps growing and more and more and more and more. We just got back from an around the world tour. We went to the Netherlands, to Germany, Bulgaria, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Russia, Finland, Doha, Bahrain, India, Australia, and Fiji. And now we got more invitations coming for our next world tour. So yeah, we're staying busy. But Africa, I have been invited to South Africa quite a few many times. But it's a big, they got to pay the plane fare. It's not a cheap ticket going to South Africa. But I'm always looking for new and exciting preaching spots around the world.
Yes, we are here in Tallahassee and also in Tampa because they have paid our fare.
Yes, they paid our airfare and drove us up here. So you have to thank Anoop and Velocity. They have brought us here today.
Thank you very much.
They're the sponsors of the program today. Special word of thanks to our sponsors.
Yeah. Speaking about sponsors, maybe you can refresh us again about your website. Is it still active?
Yes, we have a very, very successful program of cultivating people through the internet. It's called the Ultimate Self-Realization Course. The sign-up page is easier to spell. You just go to backtohome.com. Right now, we're up to... almost, or actually 5,800 subscribers in over 100 countries around the world. And everyone gets a weekly lesson. Right now, they're on based on the Bhagavad Gita. And then we have also what's called Thought for the Day, which is different sorts of inspirational material, philosophical realizations, or what's happening out on the preaching trail in different parts of the world. Plus, what people like the most is all the samples from our correspondents. People, we get all kinds of questions from our readers all over the world. So today we take some jewel questions, some really, you know, really interesting question that somebody asked and how it was answered. And that's so every day you get questions and answers also.
It's also translated by different people in different languages.
We have translators now translating it in French. It's being sent every day in French language, also in the Spanish language. And we've had some translators sometimes translate into Latvian language as well. So it is growing. It's definitely growing, and we're looking, you know. People ask, well, where are you from? We say, we're from ISKCON cyberspace. We do have a base in Austin, but I mean, we're hardly there, you know. I have everything automated. I have somebody hired to do the lawn, you know. Everything's automated, so I don't have to even be there. I have a lawn service that comes in, you know, the bill to my credit card, and, you know, everything's automated, so I can be gone for months and everything's happening, you know. All the bills get paid automatically, and the lawn gets, you know, the sprinkler system comes on at the right time of the year. You know, everything is all automated, so we can be gone, but it still goes on. And my disciple is running the Nama Hut program there. We have every Sunday, nice gatherings every Sunday. So yeah, we keep the home base going while we're out on the road all over the world. It's an exciting life, Krishna consciousness. We want to turn the whole world on to Krishna consciousness. Why even one person should suffer in material consciousness? It doesn't make sense. Everybody in this whole planet can be in the bliss of pure Krishna bhakti right now. If they'll just listen. If they'll just tune in, turn on, and drop out. Tune in to this message of Krishna. Turn on to the Maha Mantra and drop out of sense gratification consciousness. Tune in, turn on, and drop out. Come on, y'all. Taste the nectar. You're not meant to suffer in this material existence. Another minute. You are not meant to suffer. If I could have a microphone and announce the whole world right now, I would say, you are not meant to suffer for another minute. Come to Krishna consciousness. Chant these names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, anything else? Yes.
You were talking about how we should feel that we can die at any moment.
Yes, yes. You must feel that way. But otherwise, you're deceiving yourself.
But if you really think about it, if you really, at heart, you think that you're going to die tomorrow, then, or now, then, I mean, whatever you have, like your job or whatever.
No, I covered that already. Did you come late for the lecture?
No, you said you think about both the things.
No, you have to cover, you have to work it from both ends.
But then you don't really feel that you are...
No, 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 no. That's not true. If you're not feeling it, that means your realization is not deep enough. You need to intensify your Krishna consciousness.
No, when you were saying that you should think about your long-term plan, like 5 years or 10 years, and also at the same
time... Yeah, you must do both things.
But both things don't go like... Means if you, like Parikshit Maharaj, like when he knew that he was going to... he was cursed. He left behind everything and he went to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam like just for 7 days, leaving behind everything. So how, like...
So what is your question?
The question is, if you really, like, if I knew that I was really going to die tomorrow,
okay,
then I would not do my work. Because, you know,
You may not. You may or you may not, you see. So you have to be prepared if you do, and then you have to be prepared if you don't. You got to work. You got to cover both possibilities. You may die tomorrow. You'll be ready for that. You may not. You got to be ready for that too. You have to be ready for both of them. That's intelligent planning. It's called contingency planning. In material management techniques, it's called contingency planning.
But how can you work with full conviction in that kind of situation?
What is that?
That's the question. How can you work? How can you live with full conviction in that kind of a context?
Every corporation does. What is the difficulty? Every corporation does contingency planning.
But no corporation.
Any together corporation, they have plan A and plan B. You know, if this happens, then we'll do this. I mean, I'll give you. Here's a real simple example. When I was a kid, I hated working jobs, but there was one job I actually thought it was okay. I worked at a summer camp as a guitar teacher. So, but the camp had a very solid program that every kid was fully engaged for, you know, the 6 weeks of. They had everything planned every minute, so every kid in the camp was plugged in for 6 weeks. That every minute there was no unplanned moment, 24 hours a day. It was very well organized summer camp. But they also had what was called rainy day plan. If a rainy day camp or the normal camp activities couldn't happen, then it immediately went into, there wasn't any confusion. They just went into rainy day plan. They had a whole schedule. You know, they had the 5 or 6 rainy days already lined up. As soon as that day comes, we have our schedule. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Even if a mundane summer camp can expertly manage the children so that if it's a sunny day, they do this, and if it's a rainy day, they do that, then why can't a devotee who's empowered by Krishna to be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, why can't he deal with contingency? If a karmi can do it, why can't a devotee do it? This challenge you're making doesn't make sense. Because I've seen this summer camp. It was so expertly done. There's a rainy day, there is no problem, no confusion. They just, okay, rainy day, they pull out the file, rainy day plan. Every counselor in the camp, okay, here's your assignment now on this rainy day schedule. At this hour we do this with the kids, at this hour we do that with the kids. The whole thing was perfectly orchestrated. There was not even one spaced out moment the whole summer I was there. It was so well organized. So if the karmis can do it, why can't a devotee do it? Why can't he have a why can't he deal with contingencies? Well, if I'm still living, I'll do this, and if the death comes, I'll do this. Why you can't have contingency plan? Your challenge doesn't make sense. It's absurd. Really an absurd challenge. It's ridiculous. It means you're spaced out. Yeah.
In some facet, isn't this the same problem? Arjuna was thinking, I can't be Krishna conscious if I fight this war. And Krishna said, no, you have to fight it, and fight it because I ask you and remember me while you're fighting. So you do your duty, but remember me.
Mm-hmm.
Do your devotional service and do your duties at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you won't, you'll have your contingency plan in place.
Jay. Anything else? Yes.
Yeah. We need to make a little offering, unfortunately. So, if we need to be a kirtan while we have a short offering being made, is that possible? A little kirtan?
Yes. We can do a little more kirtan while the offering the Lord is relishing. Especially, you can serenade him, yeah? Are they, if there's more questions, this is also kirtan.
That's true.
If there's any more questions, the offering can be made and we continue the pravachan.
I just didn't want to leave it. If there's any more questions, I will keep hearing.
Huh?
He said, if there is more question, then he will sit here and he will not go for make the offering.
We can do a little trick. We'll start a kirtan, and as soon as he goes away, we'll go back to the questions and answers. But that's all right.
But I've got to do the beat of the kirtan and play the drum. So.
No, that's all right. No, that's all right. We'll honor your request, and we thank you all very much. Rajavidra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.